Secretary of Lessons' duty to call upon Dr. Nelson Medina to give an address on behalf of the students who have received awards this evening.
I am deeply honored to have been invited to say a few words at this joyous and memorable occasion. Clearly, the organizers are not afraid of taking some risks, like giving the floor to a foreign national who has English as a second language. This is the type of things that speaks so eloquently of the openness and welcoming atmosphere that I, along with dozens of students from many parts of the world, have experienced and cherished in Milltown Institute for a fair portion of our lives. Heartfelt thanks. I was told that Rabindranath Tagore once said, "Every newborn child is the living proof that God has not lost hope in humankind." I suggest every conferring ceremony is a tremendous source of hope. These awards tell the tale of so many efforts and so many struggles in the past, but also they pave the way to new stages of intellectual, spiritual, and social commitment in the future. Furthermore, the fact that shelters, true homes of enriching dialogue and constructive discussion, do exist is good news for the entire academic community and for society at large. I believe it is my pleasant duty to share something of what I have learned during these years, not exactly about the Canadian Jesuit philosopher and theologian Bernard Lonergan, the author I worked on, but about the whole process of coming to realize something you thought you knew already, but actually didn't know, and coming to do something you never imagined you could possibly do. Does this make it any clearer? On a more serious note, my first word of advice, especially for the benefits of members of religious community, is beware of smiling provincials. This is my story. By the end of 2002, I lived in Villavicencio, a medium-sized town in my country. It was my task at that time to help restart the Dominican presence in that part of Colombia, the last missionary having left more than a century previously. By all accounts, my guess was that my stay in Villavicencio would be a long and hopefully fruitful one. Then, some evening, my provincial paid me a visit, wearing a big, friendly, somewhat mysterious smile on his face. Up his sleeve was the plan to send me to Europe so that I could undertake a doctorate. His initial proposal was Switzerland, but after some discussion, Ireland emerged more and more as the sensible choice. In hindsight, I am just grateful that things happened as they did. Still, don't forget my humble advice, beware of smiling provincials. I've been asked quite often, why Ireland? The common saying that regards Ireland as the island of saints and scholars should suffice as an answer. But there is also a practical side in all of this. If you are looking for Catholic culture, missionary thrust, the English language, and the right mixture of tradition and innovation, most probably you'll find yourself spelling Ireland. After the initial conversation with my provincial, I started to realize how much influence the Irish people have had in so many aspects of faith and culture in places as remote as India, Australia, Iran, Argentina, the West Indies, and of course, the United States of America. Few are the examples of this kind of amazing fecundity and sustained effort on a truly global scale. Although I have to confess, I never was completely bought into some very Irish features. Is it a sin not having been able to finish a single full glass of Guinness during my 6 years in Ireland? If it is, please brace for another one. I still cannot wrap my mind around the scoring system for hurling. Still worse, I never climbed to the top of Crowpatrick. I know, shame on me. In my defense, I maintain that putting this on my to-do list is the perfect excuse for coming back here. In spite of everything, I can assure you, not many people can feel as strongly as I do that my life would have been far less rich and promising without these wonderful moments of libraries, lectures, essays, exams, corrections, and the rest of vibrant and inspiring Irish life. Something I always liked in Milltown academic life was that we postgraduate students were well accompanied in our loneliness. It may have been a coincidence, but at every gathering of students that I had the opportunity to attend, the speaker would mention something of this sort: "We know indeed how lonely research can be." And it certainly is. At times, you feel you are the only human being on earth who might care a little about some particular abstruse point. Yet, you have to try your best to get that point right, because if you don't, then a very ancient spell would unfold itself, and you would be caught because, believe it or not, your original abstruse point will end up being the central, crucial, and essential one for all your work. Nevertheless, there is also a sense in which you are not alone. Take any thesis or dissertation already published. The list of acknowledgments is usually quite long, with names ranging from family members to people in very distant latitudes. At this time, I am delighted to manifest my gratitude towards the library staff, a feeling well shared by everybody attending this ceremony, I'm sure. I also found professors and lecturers unassuming, easy to get along with, and quite ready to share that bibliographical reference or contact number that could make your day. I would like to finish by voicing strong support for the academia in the present-day Catholic Church. When a gathering is held at a Catholic institution, the elephant in the room, as they say, is the situation created by the scandals that have regretfully, deeply hurt so many people. Even from the very first day of my arrival into this country, I was acutely conscious that these scandals were holding people's attention. 7 years after that freezing morning, may I offer an opinion as an outsider? Of course, everything must be done in order to alleviate and heal what can be healed and alleviated. In itself, this will entail a long process in the course of which even more uncomfortable truths may yet emerge. Things being so, there is the temptation of reducing the life of the church to the proportions of a huge charity whose own concern should be to perform its humanitarian work without interfering with anyone's feelings or interests. To think of the church in that way is not evil, but I believe it does not do justice to the whole picture. Perhaps I'm subject to a strong Dominican bias, but I cannot help loving Paul VI's expression: "The church exists in order to evangelize, that is to say, in order to preach and to teach, to be the channel of the gift of grace, to reconcile sinners with God, and to perpetuate Christ's sacrifice. Those are the words of Pope Paul VI in Evangelii Nuntiandi, number 14. Every good and humanitarian deed has to be counted among the inexhaustible riches of the spreading of the good news, but preaching and teaching shouldn't be overlooked. There always stands the formidable task of properly understanding what salvation means in the context of every new generation and for so many different cultures. Consequently, the present time is not one for servile repetition of formulae, however brilliant and cogent they may be. It wouldn't be responsible either to give the future away into the hands of crude pragmatism, as if the only true certainties were those attaining the basic needs of our fellow human beings, the social equivalent to the Lonerganian "all there now real." Life, shelter, and food are human rights, but so is the capacity to truly experience, understand, judge, and decide. It is good and valuable to fight for the most basic human rights, but we would fall short if we wouldn't fight for the humanizing power of reflection, discussion, and extensive and intensive research. What I am trying to convey is simple. Society needs centers of advanced studies, in particular, centers of serious philosophical and theological training and research. In order to break the chains of every form of tyranny, we are in the need of intellectual and spiritual homes in which the less obviously useful works can be completed with lucid honesty, communal effort, and selfless commitment. I think this is the time to show true support for places, I repeat it, homes, like the Milltown Institute, where you receive not only fresh ideas, but in some cases, a fresh new self. I cannot finish without expressing my heartfelt congratulations to my fellow classmates and all those who have received the awards today. We met at the library, at the restaurant, or in the chapel. Can I still confess something more? Your faces of despair when I saw you drowned underneath a pile of books, articles, and journals made my own despair bearable. Also, your smiles of success have every echo in my soul. Ireland, you know a fair part of my life bears your name. Milltown, wherever I may go, there will be part of you in my thinking, saying, and doing. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.